This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got.
Okay, this is Clint Locklear with Trappin' Radio, and I have the famous Alan Propes from Wild Pennsylvania on here. And then I have my right-hand man, Travis. And I thought this would be fun. Don't know if it will be or not, but we're going to try something out here. Now, you, Travis, have talked many times of wanting a TV show for hunting. Finding some way to do that. Now, Alan actually does that. And since he's in the industry and he's pretty honest about all this stuff, I thought this would be a fun way to work out how you're going to get that accomplished. Sound fun to you?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it you want to do in the outdoor industry? And before we do that, the reason I'm bringing this up, just guys, you think about doing stuff like this all the time. Maybe there's a little bit reality check that needs to happen, or maybe it's going about things a little bit different. So tell us what you want to do, Travis. If you could do whatever you wanted in the outdoor industry, what would it be?
No doubt. Deer hunt, turkey hunt, rabbit hunt, do a little bit of trapping in there, maybe a little bit of fishing. I want to do it all, you know.
Do it all.
Yeah.
I was young like you once. Yeah, that reminds me of, I guess probably when I got done playing baseball back in the early 2000s, I was in Orlando, and I think I've actually told you this story before a couple years ago when I was down here, where I was just driving down the road and heard a commercial that the NRA convention was down at the Orange County Convention Center there in Orlando, and I said, well, hell, I'm going to go down there, because I used to go up in Pennsylvania about 2 weeks out every year, but always do it right around Thanksgiving, which was the opening of the muskrat and mink season, and then stayed for deer season, which opened the Monday after Thanksgiving. And I went to the convention, and I, you know, was around all the like-minded people, which obviously, you know, helps you in your own mindset. But I want to do outdoor videos, and that's what I did. I came home, and don't get me wrong, I love what I do. It's a lot of fun. I get to travel. I get to meet a lot of people like you, Clint, and travel, you know, and watch people trap, and kind of, you know, I haven't set a trap in probably about 2 years, so I've been kind of living vicariously through everybody else through the camera. But anytime you do something, you know, I came into it totally green. I remember back then really not even knowing how I was going to do it. Just I decided I was going to do it. And if I had to do it all over again, I could have probably put my time into something that would have given me the opportunity to be more financially secure than I am now. But that's not what it's all about either.
No. Everybody on TV is a millionaire.
Well, yeah, that's the big misconception. Yeah, everybody's a millionaire. There's very few millionaires, probably. I mean, Ted Nugent would be one that's he's made a lot of his money through his music. But, you know, you look at it, if you look at most of the outdoor shows on the networks, and you have three main networks right now. You have the Outdoor Channel, which is the premier one. You also have the two right under that, which would be the Sportsman Channel and the Pursuit Channel. Now, not so much on the Outdoor Channel, but if you look at the Pursuit Channel and the Sportsman Channel, and you watch the shows that are airing in third and fourth quarter here in 2017, I bet you 60 to 70% of them will not be on TV next year. And that's what happens a lot of times.
60 to 70%?
I bet you there's a turnover rate of 60 to 70%. And it's a lot of people that think that, you know, just because you have a 180-inch buck on film getting shot, you got 13 shows you need to put together, and you're not going to wrap a whole season around one deer. And what has happened over the last, well, 12 to 15 years with the monster buck craze?
How long have you been in this perspective?
I started my Wild Pennsylvania TV show back in 2005. Okay. I aired in March of 2005. So, you know, we're well over a decade, heading towards, you know, 15 years. The trapping show, through F&T's Freedom Outdoors, we started that in 2010. Now, that is a very high-rated show. I think it's actually the highest-rated show on Pursuit. But with that being said, it's the only game in town. Mm-hmm. We are the only full-time trapping or fur bearer show out there. There might be another show that does a segment here and there. But if you're a trapper and you want to see trapping and people trapping throughout the country, you're going to watch F&T's Freedom Outdoors. There's no other ball game in town in that. And the reason being, because there's really not a lot of money in the trapping industry. There's more money in the hunting industry, but what has happened over the last, I see it a lot over the last 5 or 6 years, sponsors are becoming tougher and tougher to get, because they've realized that the only way we're going to make money is to actually kind of do our own show. And you see the shows that are there year in, year out, whether it be Realtree, whether it be, you know, Drury Brothers or Mossy Oak or whatever they're doing, they have a product to sell. If you're just trying to do TV and you think you're going to be taking it to the bank, it's just not going to work out for you.
Now, see, like, one of the things that I found interesting, because I've talked about doing that before with another gentleman from Pennsylvania, and he had me hooked up, and what was a shock to me is you pay to be on TV, where most people think you get paid to be on TV.
No, absolutely. Most people think that they're paying us to do the TV show, and that's just not the case. Everybody from, you know, the peon Alan Probst in Wild Pennsylvania all the way to Ted Nugent's Spirit of the Wild or whatever his show's name, we pay the network. And there's a couple variables that go into that. The Outdoor Channel is the most expensive. To do a show, these are rough numbers. You would have to, you know, really sit down, and I could sit down, but just for the sake of this conversation, these are rough numbers. To do a show on the Outdoor Channel and run it 6 months, when you figure in the airtime charges, travel fees, licenses, cameraman, everything else, just expenses into that show, are going to cost you anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million.
Okay? For 6 months.
For 6 months to air that program. Now, airtime charges on that are, on the Outdoor Channel, going to be probably on a weekly basis anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 a week to air your program. They do go down a little bit on the Sportsman Channel and the Pursuit Channel. Your airtime charges are going to be anywhere in the 3 to 5 range for the week. Now, that also depends on what time slot you want. If you want a Sunday night at 9:30 p.m., which is a prime slot, versus a 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday, you're going to pay a lot more for that. But average-wise, you're anywhere around $5,000 just to air the program. Now, you got all the fees. You know, my shows, I'm pretty much a one-man record crew. You know, we go out, we film it. I do the editing. I do the mastering. I do the anything that needs done voiceover work. I might have to hire it out once in a while. But I have to, you know, do all that and have learned to do it all myself, whether it be closed captioning for the hearing impaired or anything, just for the mere fact that it saves costs.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Realtree, a Team Realtree, they're spending well over $1 million every 6 months to air the program because they have 5 videographers, they have probably 3 or 4 editors, they have somebody that digitizes and masters everything, they have probably somebody in-house that closed captions or one of their editors closed caption. So they're paying a lot of other people to do what I'm essentially doing by myself, so I don't have those charges. If I had those charges and had to hire that out, there's no way I could ever do a show.
Wow. So, would that, I mean, does what, when you hear those numbers, what does that make you think?
I think of $300,000 to $1 million. I could buy a lot of Jeep Wranglers. I can buy a house. You know,
every 6 months.
Oh yeah, that's.
Now how do you, if you're paying them,
how do you make money?
That's a question I want to
hear. That's where it comes into it, to where you kind of want, you need to have a product to sell. Over the years, I've had roughly 40, 45 different DVD titles, whether they've been my own or other ones I've produced, that really compensated for a lack of sponsorships if I had any. You know, I've had sponsors from one of my, you know, most loyal sponsors, and I've been loyal to them because, one, I believe in their product, is Duke Traps. I don't think you need to spend $300 a dozen for traps. Duke's have worked fine for me. I've taken a lot of heat from day one on Trapper Man. I mean, I found Trapper Man back in 2003 before I even started this. And I called my dad that night. I said, I can't believe I found this community dad online. And it's a trapping community. All they do is talk about trapping. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And about 2 weeks later, you know, you got every Tom, Dick, and Harry asking, who's this jack wagon, you know, asking, and, you know, and I thought, well, see, this is how I trap. People making fun of me because I said that I catch every beaver in a number three Duke round jaw. I have caught every, because I set for the front foot. Mm-hmm. If you're trapping and you're setting for all back feet, that might not be the best trap. You might want a little larger jaw spread. But Pennsylvania, we got rules, too, where you can't be over 6.5 inches. So I'd always set for a front foot and always never had a problem catching beaver, but people are telling me I can't catch beaver, and I guarantee you I go catch the main beavers they catch anywhere they catch them, it, with the methods I was using in Pennsylvania, but I was getting made fun of. Well, I quickly learned that everybody, this is basically a keyboard warrior, and if you're out there in trapping season and your first day of trapping season, you got the second day of the year and you got some jack wagon, you know, spewing his keyboard warrior bullshit at 10 in the morning, noon, 2 and 4, I guarantee you they ain't doing much trapping. And they ain't catching much fur, because if they were, they wouldn't be on the keyboard. So I quickly learned I got to get away from this. And I did. And I got off track there a little bit, and I apologize. But I figured that was a point that I was going to have to make. Okay. Duke has been a very good sponsor of mine. Bill and TA, I love them to death. They have a great product. That's what I use. If somebody wants to go with an MB or somebody wants to go with a Victor, more power to you. I like the Duke. That's what I use. I get no problem. I don't have coyotes blowing my traps up, this, that, and everything. That's one sponsor. I've had sponsors. Tink 69, America's number one buckler. You find it anywhere in America. Every Walmart, Tink's is there. Big company. They were a sponsor of mine for 7-8 years when I ran nationally. Swarovski Optics. Swarovski's by far the best binocular in America. Absolutely. It's like, it's not only are you looking through, it's almost like it's a magnifying glass, obviously, but it's so clear, it's almost like an animal's 300 yards away. You can reach out and touch it. It's unbelievable. They were a sponsor. Excalibur Crossbows. I've had really big sponsors.
Dodge
is my main sponsor right now. Ram Trucks is my sponsor, and they've been by me for a couple years now, and I've had little sponsors, but that's how you make your money. You have to, you know, you figure out how much you're going to spend, and then you need to go get sponsors. Now the double-edged sword that you have with that is, in order to go to these bigger sponsors, you need to show them ratings, you need to show them viewership numbers. In order to do that, you have to have a program that has some stability, some longevity, some things of that nature. So, in essence, you're putting a lot of money into it up front to try and get to that point to prove to them. So it starts
out of pocket.
It starts out of pocket, and that's why. You know, I'll go back to the 60-70% turnover rate. That's why these people put a lot of their own money in. They chase their dream, which I'm all for. And I'm not telling you not to do this. I think if you want to do it, you can do it. You can do anything you want. I had numerous people tell me, you're crazy. You're never going to be able to do this. Well, that's just food for me. Anybody tells me not to do something, I'm going to do it. But you can do this. If you put your mind to it and do it, you can do it. But there's a lot of hard work that leads up to it. We didn't just get to this point 13, 14 years later to where, oh, it just fell in my lap. There's a, you know, I haven't taken a vow.
It must be nice.
Yeah, it must be nice, exactly, to have it fall in your lap. It hasn't fallen in my lap in one instance. I've worked hard and done a lot of traveling, spent a lot of time, hours upon hours upon weeks upon months upon years in front of that computer editing and just doing what I think I needed to do to get to where I'm at.
So, do you have a question from that? I hope you do.
I mean, like, Waddell, Michael Waddell, I'm sure he makes money because, you know, he's got that bone collector and he sells it at stores. Is that, like, kind of what you're saying, get a product?
Well, yeah. Michael's not an odd story, but Michael's a different animal in and of itself. Michael, well, you know what? Quite honestly, I'll actually relate you to Michael. You're somewhat of what Michael was back in the day when he started working for Bill Jordan and doing things with Realtree. They brought him on because he was a good kid, and I know Michael personally, and Michael's a good guy. I like Michael a lot. Michael's worked hard, though, too. Mm-hmm. You know, he went out and won his turkey calling championships. He had that little niche, and then he was on the Monster Buck video. So he got a little bit of publicity, actually quite a lot of publicity, from the Monster Buck videos, which allowed him to go out. He already had that name to get the sponsors. It's been not easy for him, but it's been a little bit easier for him to get to that point because he had somebody helping him out. And Realtree and Mossy Oak, since the late 80s, early 90s, has been your two predominant camo producers, camo pattern producers. There's been a lot that have come, and there's been a lot that have fallen in that time frame trying to compete with them. And you just really can't compete with those two big boys. Now, Michael got a push and a kind of a head start from that. But Michael's taken the Bone Collector on his own, and he's turned it into something. So he's worked hard for that, too. That wasn't given to him. Michael's probably not a story that I would use to say where you can go. I would probably go with somebody like a Jim Shockey. Mm-hmm. Shockey is probably the most universally well-known hunting name now in the industry, even more than Waddell, even more than Bill Jordan, even more than Lee and Tiffany, all those people. Shockey makes a lot of money, but he started out as an outdoor writer, and he got some land in Canada, started doing hunts, and he has built his business and his name over the last 30, 35, 40 years. It didn't just happen overnight. I can still remember, not even a decade ago, meeting Jim, and he was just somebody who had a TV show. Now he is the predominant star. And what he's done, he found his niche. He went out and shot everything with a muzzleloader. So he's worked that into where he's at now, but nobody gave him that. He deserves that. He worked hard, and that'll go back to the point that I said, anybody can do it if they want to do it. It just comes down to how much hard work and dedication and how much you're willing to give up out of your own personal life to achieve what your ultimate goal is.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, it costs $300,000 to $1 million to put it on Outdoor Channel. I mean, and yeah, you go on YouTube. I'm sure all of us has got on YouTube today. I did this morning. For free YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you probably won't get all the publicity like off of Outdoor Channel, but I mean.
Well, you know, you bring up.
Before we get too far into that, how do you. Let's see, like, just for me thinking, because I'm not interested in doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if I was you being interested in what he's doing, Travis, I would go, okay. Or say on the bottom end, $300,000 to do a show. How do you approach a sponsor, or how do you? Because I mean, I can only imagine Cabela's probably gets 55 emails a day with people wanting to have sponsors for shows, and the same with Bass Pro. And I mean, there has to be something that where you can. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And along those lines, it's no different than anything else in this world. People will buy from people two reasons. If you're a salesman, I don't care if you're selling ketchup. I don't care if you're selling guns. I don't care if you're selling traps. I don't care if you're selling chickens. I don't care if you're
selling my chickens.
Well, I'm going to eat them probably. But I don't care if you're selling TV advertising. People buy from people for two reasons. One, they buy from people they like. They buy from people they like. They don't buy from people they don't like. And two, they buy from people who are very knowledgeable about their product. If they ask any question in that sales pitch and you don't have an answer for them, they will not buy from you. So you need to, one, know your product inside and out, which if you're selling
for
TV,
you, your product is
myself.
Okay.
I need to know not just myself. I need to know what I'm offering them. If they ask me how many viewers do you have per week, I need to know that number. If they ask me what's your demographic, well, my demographic's 25 to 64 male, dominated. If they ask me, you know, like I run in Pennsylvania, my Wild Pennsylvania show, I run in 8 different markets. And each of those are 8 different time slots. If I'm talking to somebody in Erie and I'm trying to pitch them for the Erie version of the show that runs locally in Erie, I need to know what station it's on, when it's running, how many average viewers, all those different things. And two, it comes down to them liking you, which in turn is personal relationships. It's no different than anything else. Personal relationships mean a lot. When I was doing it at the national level, you create those personal relationships by going to the ATA show, by going to the SHOT show, by going out and meeting these people, introducing yourself. And you got to understand, when you're selling somebody something, you cannot just meet them and say, oh, I want you to buy my TV show. You're almost a year out. You're almost a year out meeting these people, saying, hey, my name's Alan Probst. I really like your product. I use your product. Know something about their product, too. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want somebody just coming up and asking them for their money. The reason I got Swarovski, it took me 2 years to get Swarovski. But you know what I did? I actually gave them some advertising on my program and sent him the video clips of me using it in the field, promoting their product from a pair of binoculars that I had. And he's like, wow, this guy really, he went the extra mile. You know what? I'm going to try and find some money in the marketing budget for him next year. It's a process. You're not just going to go out and, here, I'm going to do a TV show, and the next day you have five sponsors.
Because from their point of view, they have, everybody tells them that.
Everybody and their brother tells them that, but if you send them video clips of you actually doing it, that carries a lot of weight. It carries a lot of weight. And I'll tell you another, I'm giving a lot of secrets here away, but I don't really care. My competition is myself, not somebody else. How I got Excalibur Crossbows as a sponsor was me and I had a full-time employee at the time who was a pretty good graphics guy. I said, dude, we need to make up a commercial for Excalibur Crossbows. We need to do a commercial. And we sat and spent 2 weeks on doing a graphically driven commercial for Excalibur Crossbows, where we had the bow spinning. We had the arrow flying out of the bow. We had, when that arrow released, 350 feet per second, Chiron on the screen. We did a 30-second commercial. I sent it to the guy. He's like, wow, that's, I sent it to the owner, who I had made contact with the year before at the SHOT Show. I said, hey, I put this piece together for you. You may like it, you may not. I just wanted to show you the type of work that we do, the type of quality that we can produce, that we do on our show. Sent me back an email. I had him as a sponsor within 2 weeks. And it cost me 2 weeks worth of employee charges to the guy, which was about $800. And I ended up getting a sponsor at the national level. And when you're talking sponsors at the national level, you're looking at 50 to 75 grand a year from each company. So I just helped pay some of my bills by taking a chance and making the effort and taking the first step towards that. So there's a lot of different things you can do. You got to think outside the box too. A lot of my sponsors in local shows in Pennsylvania, the local regional shows that I run, are doctors, lawyers, dentists. Shit, just because we're a bunch of rednecks doesn't mean we don't need to get our teeth cleaned and we don't need eye doctors. That's a prime position. And actually, quite honestly, probably guys in our area of work, we probably don't go to the dentist enough a lot of times. That just as a reminder, hey, and then, you know, on the screen, mention Wild Pennsylvania for 10% off your cleaning. Now you can start tracking your advertising. Then when you go to them in 6 months and say, hey, how's the advertising working? Well, we had 14 people that come in and give us the code. Hey, you know, we got 14 people, 100 some bucks cleaning, paying you $49 a week. Shit, we made money on this. Let's continue to do this advertising. Think outside the box. And that's one thing I've always tried to do with the advertisers, think outside the box. Because in the industry, just like you said, every one of them guys is getting 50 kits a week, 50 media kits a week. And they go in a drawer. They're never looked at. They don't look at them. I got friends that are in bigger positions in some of these companies. I don't even send media kits out.
Because no one pays attention.
They don't pay attention. You're wasting your money. You're wasting the postage. You're wasting the high gloss finish and the beautiful DVD. They're not putting that DVD in. They're just going in a drawer. They're not even looking at it. You're not getting the sponsor unless you physically meet them, make contact with them, let them like you. They'll buy from people they like.
So what I'm hearing what you're saying, which I know you wouldn't be like this anyway, but you can't be demanding, you can't be arrogant, and it can't be like, y'all need me.
No, never, never, yeah. Because they don't need you. You need them. And when you realize that you need them, and you let them know that you need them, hey, you know, I really like my show, this is what we do, I think you're a good fit. this is what I'll do for you. And if you tell somebody that you're going to do it for them, you better damn well do it and above, because they are watching.
I'll bet.
They're checking the Nielsen ratings. I got a phone call. I had a sponsor. This is probably 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years ago. Outdoor Edge Knives. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They do the Cody packs and the saws and the Cody packs. Pretty big company. And they were a sponsor of mine. I screwed up. I left their commercial out of one show, which was a total, you know, mistake on my part. I got a call on Monday that commercial didn't air in the show on Sunday in Pennsylvania from a company that's based in Utah. And I said, you know what? I'm totally sorry. This is what I'll do for you. I went above and beyond. You know, I said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'll do two, and then in the next month or two, I'll do two product spotlights for you, no charge. And they're like, well, okay, well, thanks. I appreciate it. And I'm like, no, my fault. You know, I just forgot to place their commercial, which things happen. You know, I'm only human. I'm doing it myself. You know, there's so many things I got to do, but I forgot their commercial, but I took care of it. But take care of it, yeah. Take care of your sponsors, because your sponsors indefinitely are going to be the ones that take care of you.
Well, see, part of what I was hearing you just say, and we've talked about this before, Travis, is if I was ever going to try to do something like you're doing, I would have to feel like I could sell enough lure or something that I own to basically cover at least most of that because of sponsors.
Absolutely.
I mean, because going into me, see, going off sponsors is a scary thing.
Oh, it's totally scary. I've had no less than, 2010 was a bad year for me. Real bad year. One was going through a divorce, and two, I had my title sponsor, which was Medalist. I don't know if you remember Medalist. Medalist was a clothing line based out of Reading, Pennsylvania. They were my title sponsor, and they were a $50,000 a year sponsor, and they always slow paid, but they always paid. I had them for 3 or 4 years. Well, I, you know, sent a bill out, supposed to pay me before January, because I was running full year at the time, and it got into March, and, you know, my bills are starting to be due now, the end of the first quarter, and, you know, my bills at the end of the first quarter are $100,000. I got to pay some bills. So they were one that hadn't paid me yet, and that's a big chunk. And they ended up filing bankruptcy, and I ended up not getting paid the $50,000. And also that year, I had another sponsor stiff me for 12, and I had another sponsor stiff me for 8.
Is that common?
No, not necessarily. It just so happened that year I had 3. I've had a couple little ones here and there that, you know, $600, $1,000. I can eat that. I can get by that. But $50,000, $60,000, $75,000 is what it added up to. I mean, I was just it just beat me down, and I ended up having to call the Sportsman Channel, which was one of the networks I was running on at that time. I didn't have the money to pay them. And I said, you know, I'd like to set up a payment plan with you. They had just turned from a low, like a homegrown owned entity to being bought by a conglomerate. They wanted no part of that. They took me to court, got a judgment, and I finally ended up getting the judgment paid off about a year and a half ago. But I ended up having to send them, it was like $1,800 a month for like 3 years. Yeah, it was a big chunk of change, but they were owed the money. I owed them that money, and I would have paid them that money. And it really, the judgment set it up about the way I wanted it set up anyway. But it just it makes things harder for business because then you have a judgment against you. And if thank God I didn't need any credit, you know, because anytime anybody sees a judgment against you, you're gonna. But that's the things you deal with. And not only me, there were 4 or 5 guys that I personally knew that had shows that were in the same boat, probably because they were also sponsored by Medalist, that got judgments against them, and you know, you deal with it. Yeah, that was a hard thing to get through. 2010 was a tough year. I actually thought about giving up the TV at that time, but I'm glad I stuck with it because it's turned in a little better as we went on. Cool.
Well, I want to take this in a little bit different direction. And me and you've talked about this. Now, see, I'm not in the deer world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really care to be, or the turkey world or any of that other stuff. So I don't know how that goes. Our industry is a lot smaller. It's, you know, it's a pimple on a baby's butt compared to what that is. So, but when I look at the deer industry, me and Travis has talked about this. It seems like to be known, you would have to do something that's not standard. Would you agree to that? Or better yet, me back up a little bit. If you were Travis's age, and you're 21?
19.
Good grief. Okay, 19, and this is what you thought you wanted to do, would you go the route you went today with our technology, or would you go a different route?
No way. I wouldn't even remotely do what I did today. No, today is such a, I mean, just in a short period of time, too, over a decade. Touching on your first point, I'll touch on that and then go on to your second point. Your first point would have set me on a rant here, too, but...
I want to hear the rant, then.
you don't... What has happened is that the deer hunting industry has really, in my eyes, lost its way. It's lost its way.
Amen.
It's lost its way.
Amen.
They put way too much stock in how many inches of antler you have on a deer. Quite honestly, to me, it's about how many pounds of meat I have in the freezer. Okay? But what they've done is changed the mindset of a lot of hunters across the board, not just Midwest, but Pennsylvania, all the way across the board. They've changed the mindset that you're somewhat of a less of a hunter if you shoot a 130 class 3-year old versus a 160 class 5-year old. Like, you should let that deer that might be a trophy of a lifetime to somebody, but why'd you shoot that deer? You should give him 2 more years to grow. Mm-hmm. Who gives 2 shits what that thing's got on his head?
Well, I'd be a terrible person then, because I don't even shoot nothing with antlers.
But that is what, and you know what? We talked about Realtree a little bit ago. The Realtree Monster Bucks, those videos are what changed that mindset. Not completely, but that drove the people to want to grow those type of bucks on their land everywhere across the country. So then you think about it, in the mid-2000s, every Tom, Dick, and Harry had a new mineral out that was going to help antler growth. And every Tom, Dick, and Harry had a new block that was going to help antler growth. And all these different things. It's all about antlers. It's not about hunting in the tradition anymore. It's not about going out with your grandfather and your father and going hunting and then bring your kid into hunting and bringing him up, learning how to hunt and learning how to go out and understand deer's habits and this and that and everything. You're out there, and there's nothing, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong in picking out one deer and saying, that's the deer I'm going to hunt this year. I respect that a lot more than, oh, I got 4 130s on my property, I got 6 140s, and I got this 180 running around with me. Hopefully we can get him. That's,
better watch the cat.
Yeah, I got the cat. He's going to tear me up. I like that cat, though. But that's where I think the industry has changed. Now, what I would do today would not be what I did back, you know, over a decade ago, getting into TV. I got into it, kind of the video stuff, and, you know, I was in the video stuff, and we were still doing VHS before DVD was even brought out.
Me and you were the first one
to go to DVD.
And everybody hated us for about a year.
Yep, until they realized, whoa, shit, the VHS, just they don't even sell VCRs anymore.
Right.
I guess we have to change our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, going back to what I did, I think I did it right for when I started. If I was going to do it today, I would find something, which I do to a certain extent on the show. I try and educate. And everybody and their brother is trying to do shock. Shock and awe. They want a shock and awe. We got this whole culture now that watches the Kardashians and, you know, they're Naked and Afraid. Christ almighty, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, it just, this whole culture is just, you know, springerized. I call it springerized.
So when you're saying shock and awe, you're just not talking about slow-mos of groundhogs getting blown in the air.
No,
you're talking about totally different.
I'm talking about the whole spectrum of, you know, this big buck, and they you watch a TV show now. I don't watch outdoor television for this mere fact. If you watch my show, you'll see me at the beginning and the end, unless I'm in the show out in the field. If we're rabbit hunting, you'll see me rabbit hunting, shooting rabbits, talking about the rabbits. But if I'm in front of the camera, I'll do a lead in and I'll do a lead out. Same type of premise. I do the F&T show about same way. You see me at the beginning, you'll see me at the end. I don't need to be on the camera in front of a black screen or a green screen, letting you zoom in on my face, talking about the hunt 2 minutes and then showing you 30 seconds of the hunt. Okay, I don't need the FaceTime. The show is about the animals and the wildlife and what we're chasing. And they've gotten away from just that. And so my advice, if I could
boil it down. So you're saying it's more went towards the person instead.
It's about the person now as opposed to the hunt, the animal, and everything else.
I don't watch it either.
Yeah, it's not about the experience anymore. It's about me, look at me, I'm a TV go. Look at me, I'm a TV host. Who gives a shit that you're a TV host? You just show us the animal. I want to see the animals. I'm watching this. I want to see something die. That's why we watch hunting shows. I want to see the deer get shot, or the trapping, or whatever. But it's not about me, all that. It's about the animal. And one thing that I guess boiling it down into a nutshell, if I was to give you where you're at in your age and what you're looking to do, I would go the YouTube route. But I would do it in a way that's not shock and awe and doing crazy stuff. I would do it in a way that's educational and showing people things that aren't normal. Hey, look at the trees. We're right here right now. You don't have a lot of leaves on the trees. But if we were sitting here in the spring or the fall, with the way this front's moving in right now, I guarantee every leaf would be opened up facing the sky. You know why? That's letting you know right there it's going to rain. Okay? Any other day when the sun's out, they're all whittled and they're protecting themselves. When it's going to rain, you'll see them leaves open right up to the sky. And I'm not saying that's what you do in your hunting show, but, you know, talk about wind direction. Talk about, you know, you could even do it trapping-wise. How come, and I've done this even when I was younger and didn't really even understand it at the time, put one trap on one side of a two-track, you put another trap on another side of the two-track, you catch three or four animals on the one side and nothing on the other side ever touches it. You know why? Because the prevailing wind direction. They're running down, they smell the one scent, they never smell the other. So teach people those type of things. Educate people on the uniqueness of what the nature and outdoors will tell you, and you have a much better chance of being somebody that can further yourself through the outdoor industry as opposed to some guy sitting in a tree. Let me tell you something, people. When you shoot the deer and the deer's laying dead 30 yards away, you don't have to whisper anymore. The deer is dead. You don't need to whisper. That cracks me up to this day. I'll still see people, oh man, that was a beautiful buck. I can't believe he came in under the deer's laying dead 30 yards away. What the hell are you whispering for?
Well, it sounds to me like you're talking when I was in Alaska, I got into a series at the local rental store, the In Fisherman. It was educational almost only. I mean, you didn't really know anything about the dudes that were doing it. All they did was talk about bottom and temperature and
absolutely.
And you know, stuff like that.
My whole premise when somebody watches a show that I do in Wild Pennsylvania, and F&T's Freedom Outdoors for that matter, every show that we put out there, whether I'm trout fishing, ice fishing, bass fishing, turkey hunting, coyote trapping, beaver trapping, fisher trapping, coon hunting, deer hunting, does not matter. I want that person, if they were a layman before they sat down and watched the show, to have enough knowledge and gain enough knowledge from watching that 28 minutes and 30 seconds dwindle down to about 18 minutes after commercials and openings. I want them to watch that 18 minutes of actual show footage and be able to go, man, you know what? I think I want to do that, and allow them to have enough knowledge to be able to go out there and do it.
That makes sense.
That's my goal. Whenever I do a show, I want it to be educational to the point where they can go do it.
Okay, so me and Travis has had long conversations in the lure shed. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you some of my advice to him and tell me where I'm right or wrong. Because, like I said, I don't know your industry. Now, what I've told him is I would work on building social capital, not for anything in particular, but being the guy that hunts, is likable, he's funny.
Extremely likable.
So, you know, you're out in the outdoors, so really pound YouTube videos and stuff like just to build social capital, not to use it for anything because you don't know where it's going to take you.
Yep.
And then I would look, and I've told him, and he thinks I'm crazy about this, but if I was going to get in the deer industry now, I'd be like the guy that only shoots stuff out of canoes and kayaks, mm-hmm. or I'd be the guy that would never get in a tree stand and make fun of people that did. I'd be the guy that would never wear camouflage. I would be the guy that would do more old, you know, like when your grandfather type hunted, or like you see the ridges up there. I've got a really good friend who kills really good deer. And on every one of those ridges where those rock faces are, he clears out a path every 50 feet, and he walks up to the edge, and he looks over. All the big bucks will back up against that thing, and he'll pick the one he wants, and he'll shoot mm-hmm. it. I mean, stuff like that, to me, I think people are hungry for.
People are hungry. We have gotten away from, and I can't disagree with one thing that you said there. Going a little bit further, we have gotten away from that as an outdoor community. I don't care what you get on. I don't care if you get on a fishing forum, a ginseng forum, or ginseng, depending on where you're from.
Sang.
We'll just say sang. A hunting forum, deer hunting, turkey hunting forum, a trapping forum. It's just bickering and bickering. Now, your way sucks. My way's better. You know what? He's just a bunch of idiot keyboard warriors. That's what I call them, keyboard warriors. Just so I'll go back and say it again. If it's the second day of trapping season and you're posting on Trapper Man at 10 in the afternoon or 10 in the morning, 12, 2, 4, 6, you aren't doing any trapping. Hmm. What you say really has no bearing on anything that I'm ever going to do because you obviously aren't out doing it.
Well, I mean, it, what you're saying is true. When I was looking at the 20 Glock for the 10 mil, I want to do research on it because I've never owned a Glock before, never liked the way they've looked. So I'm doing research. So I go and I just go, you know, 20 Glock 10 mil, look for reviews. And then you go to the comments. And half of it's like, well, 357's better, 45's. And you're like, why are you even commenting?
Why are you even here?
What's the purpose? I mean, it's...
It'd be like a turkey hunter going into a deer hunting. A turkey hunter who's never hunted deer going into a deer hunting forum. And saying, well, you shouldn't hunt deer that way. Well, how the hell do you know? It'd be like a coon trapper from Iowa who's never set a trap in the east for a coyote going into a eastern coyote hunting or a coyote trapping forum and saying, well, you shouldn't use that trap. Well, how the hell do you know? It comes down to, like, the bow hunters hate the gun hunters. The gun hunters hate the bow hunters. Then you get subsections. Within the bow hunters, the crossbow people hate the regular compound people. The compound people hate the straight bow people.
Yeah.
And then, Christ, don't bring a guy in that throws an atlatl. That'll just screw up the whole kit and caboodle. But everybody and their brother argues with everybody and their brother on these forums. You're all outdoorsmen. Mm-hmm. Stay within the realm of let's we got enough antis, HSUS, PETA, ALF, ELF. We got every World Wildlife Fund. We got every faction out there wanting to take our freedoms away from us on a daily basis. We don't need to be fighting amongst ourselves, and that's one of the things.
But see, like we've talked about, I think most outdoorsmen see that. They see the crazy product placement where you can't. I mean, the few times I've watched a show, and every scene has got a logo in it. It's filmed that way, in slow motion, and to me, it's like I just want to like lean over and go after a while after seeing that.
Well, you know, being a TV guy, I don't get as and I see your point, and I understand completely where you're coming from because we get it a lot with F&T because F&T. The F&T show, they don't sell any advertising now. So all eight commercials are basically about F&T. So what's that make the show look like? Everybody will say, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people are like, oh, it's all one big commercial. No, it's really not all by one big commercial. You got 4 minutes of F&T commercials. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 4 minutes of F&T commercials in the show. But you have people say, oh, I don't watch it. It's all one big commercial. Well, I see their point. I understand. But
well, see, I don't see how they can say that, because that's what you're down here now is we got a Bieber show done working on a Coyote show. Do you know how much guidance F&T, Ralph, Sean, or anybody, you?
Yeah, I don't give you any.
None. I mean, what snares I use, what supports I'm using, what lure I'm using. I don't even have an F&T hat on.
Yep.
No one sent me any T-shirts with F&T's the greatest.
Exactly.
Nothing.
And that's Ralph and Sean's premise. I tell them all the time, you know, what do you, or I don't tell them, I ask them, what do you want me to do? What, this, that, and the other thing? And they're like, do you want him to use it? No, just say, let him use what he wants to use, and we want the show. Mm-hmm. Well, if they use this, they use that. If somebody's using Victor's and that's all they use, no problem. That goes on the TV. If somebody's using Duke's, that's what they use. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that Ralph and Sean are very particular about, where we don't want it to be a commercial for us. We want it to promote trapping, and that's why they do this show, to promote trapping. Now, in essence, does it create a high tide? Absolutely. It brings people into the industry. It brings, you know, money into all the companies, but they create a high tide, which is exactly what you want, and that's their premise. They don't want an infomercial. But I do see your point. You watch a hunting show, and the guy's in the tree standing, he's holding up the bottle of lure. It comes down to paying the bills then.
I know that.
And that's where it comes from.
See, from an entrepreneur, I'm looking at that as going, okay, if I feel that way, I've talked to you, and I've talked to other people, and that comes up. You know, mm-hmm. it's not even about the hunting. It's just about product.
A lot of times, and that goes into the lines of where I was talking about the guys that want to be in front of the green screen or the black screen, mm-hmm. and they're FaceTime all the time. They think it's about them, and it's not. And another thing is, we were just talking, you brought up this morning about your knife.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sit there and hold a bottle up. You can promote products by just using them and showing the value of using them in the show, as opposed to sitting there and doing a 30-minute infomercial.
Are you talking about the Hilltop Outdoor with a leather sheath made out of a 1.5 trap, hand-forged trap spring? Cha-ching!
Is that what you're talking about? That's what I'm talking about. See that? You product placed that right there. Perfect. seriously, that's just something that, you know, people have different ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. Some shows, that's how they do it. My philosophy is take a product, show the use of it in the field without ever even mentioning the product, other than, hey, I'm sitting here using ABC lure. What I like to do with the ABC lure is squirt it in here. It works for me. It'll work for you, too. That's how I do it. I'm not going to sit there, well, here we have the ABC lure, and what we have here is, you know, there's different ways that you can get that product out there without sounding like, you know, you're Bob Vila on the TV.
So now we're about to get in the realm of a little more creative thinking. So what I've told Travis, and you can back me up, but we've had long conversations about this. I would start with social capital. I would try to be the guy, me personally, with my personality. Now, Travis, everybody's personality is different. You could pull this off. I'm not sure how Travis would do, especially at his age. But I would go after making fun of everybody that used products, which could make you uncomfortable. Mm, you know.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I would really go after people using all the products to cut off a pie that would go, okay, I like this guy. You know, what he's saying. I agree with that. But then you're going to come down to a whole different business model than the outdoor industry, because now you're making fun of sponsors and their products. How are you going to get paid?
That's outside the box there. How you're going to get paid? No, quite honestly, how you're going to get paid there is that you need to have, and it wouldn't even have to be an outdoor product. It could be, well, I sell beef jerky.
Right, right.
It could be beef jerky. You know, you could come up with whatever product you have, and you're pitching your own product by ragging everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
That would be something.
Well, and you would still, I think you would still have sponsors. Like, you're a Benelli fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
And you like the Remingtons on the rifles, and you love the Ruger Scout.
The old Remingtons.
Yeah. So, but if you know, he was making fun of all the new shiny gadgets. Like, it kills me. I'm into tactical. Mm-hmm. I don't own a shotgun that's got over an 18-inch barrel. I don't own one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when I see people take like an AR-15, and they put 45 pounds of jewelry on there that does everything but wash dishes and can fly itself. It just drives me crazy. So even if I wanted to maybe have a sponsor, it's an AR-15, I would go against that other and never even mention the AR-15 until somebody asked. Like the knife.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the knife? I got it from Hilltop.
That's from Hilltop.
And they're not a sponsor. I don't get any money.
No, and that's the thing. But let's just use Hilltop for an example. Let's say you go and you do this, okay? And you know that you're creating business for Hilltop.
Yes.
And you have 10, 15, 20 emails from people saying, hey, I just got my Hilltop knife. These are so cool. You contact Hilltop and say, hey, and it's not extortion, but it's somewhat like extortion. Say, hey, it's legalized extortion.
Well, you are getting a store in New York, so you got to act a little bit like the mafia.
Well, yeah, exactly. You basically contact them and say, hey, I'm bringing you some business because I'm doing stuff with your knife, and I can choose any knife, but I've chose your knife. And this is my viewership, and this is what, and these are the sales that I'm creating. Here's emails from people that have told me they bought your knife. That's not even counting the people that haven't contacted me. Can we sit down and discuss some advertising here to bring you even in more into my, you know, show, or more into my, you know, business plan, or more into my YouTube channel, or whatever? And like I said, it's kind of like extortion, but it's not. You're letting them know. You've already proven to them that, hey, I'm creating sales. I'm going to continue to create sales because I'm exponentially accruing 23 or 24% growth on a month by month basis on my YouTube channel. So last month it was 1,000. Now I'm at 1,230 or 1,240. The following month you're up to 1,600. And now you're up to 2,100, you know, so you're exponentially 23-24% on that number. And showing them that, then you can create money coming back to you that way. That's tough way to go. It's always nice to have that backing up front.
Oh, no doubt.
But
if and you're being awful quiet over there, Trevor.
No, I'm
are you soaking it in?
A little bit, but I want to get back on your the canoe topic. That's a great idea. However, that's not me. Just because, you know, like,
is it not you, or is it because you've watched so many deer shows that you think?
No, and I'm going to get into that. The Outdoor Channel, the whole reason why I'd like to maybe do something on TV one day is because the Outdoor Channel, it's just showing in Sportsman's and I guess Pursuit. I don't get that one, but they're just showing a hunter going to an outfitter. I want to get on there. I want to show me hunting my lease or my property or a property that I got permission from, because the people watching those shows, do you think they're going to an outfitter? If they do, they might be going once a year at the most. So I want to do a hunting show that is like an everyday hunter type deal. That's how I was growing up. That's how I growed up to hunt. And also, you know, I think that the Outdoor Channel nowadays, it's getting into how they are promoting their self instead of the hunt. You know, if I ever got on there and did it, I would show, you know, my dad, he trained our rabbit dogs. He showed me and my brother how to train the rabbit dogs. I'd like to do that one day. And, you know, and you said about putting other people down, like the camo and
to me, it'd be more like just making fun, like I've done with you. Like,
You,
for being in the military and understanding what a sniper does, and you see Mossy Oak, it looks great in the mall. at 100 yards, it's all one color.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm always making fun of him. Take some spray paint and like get some big swaths to break up your body outline. And, and you know how that's going to go over to a...
Well, you know, and he makes it. I see where you're coming from.
Now, be honest with him, and he's honest.
No, no, I am. I see where he's coming from, but I don't think you realize how hard it would be to do a show with the mentality of most people today without going to those places.
Yeah.
That's where we get into the antler. That's where we get away from what we did as kids growing up. You have the right idea. You have the right approach. I think that a show, you showing state land, or your own lease, or your family land, and doing, but you have to come up with 13 shows a year, mm-hmm. too. So training the rabbits, all those different things going into it, will allow you to do that. You're on the right path. If that's what you want to do, that's a good idea to do that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. The leases and the 150 class, 180 class bucks have ran their course. They ran their course a long time ago, but the industry is still in that mode because that's what sells.
Mm, yeah.
But I think that somebody that comes along and shows the true outdoors, which is exactly what I try and do in Wild Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
What he's talking about is what we do with my regional show. Who we go out and hunt rabbits. And it's working for me at that level. So, and don't think that... Here's the biggest piece of advice I could give you. Start local.
Local.
Run on the local channel in Chattanooga on the weekend. Start local. Get your feet wet. Build it up. And then, once you get a following, then you take it to the next level. Don't go to the national level, because if you fail there, it'd be tough to get it started down here. Start locally, run on the local Chattanooga station or whatever, and then build from there. That's about the soundest advice I could give you.
Yeah, and I know you said, you know, about how you got to have 13 episodes. That's true, but, I mean, I'm an everyday hunter, you know. I'm like everybody else watching the TV shows. Who do you think they're going to want to see more? This guy who just went to an outdoor ranch and killed this monster buck, or the little guy who does it just like the guy watching him go out and take a decent 8 point.
They're
going to want to
see you.
Yeah, they're going to watch me because they're going to be like, hey, this dude's doing it like I am.
You know, they're going to want to see you. That's why my Pennsylvania show does very well.
Yeah.
Because we do
it,
well, it's just,
I'd like to see
it's
it.
Just down home. This is what we're doing today. We're out trout fishing.
Yeah.
This is what we're using. Let's catch some fish. Whether we're at a dam, whether we're bass fishing, we're showing people what we're using, and we're showing them how to do it. And I think that's a good approach for you down here. I think you start small though. Start small, and then work it out from there.
Yeah. Would you start with social capital on YouTube?
Absolutely. I think doing the social media, and once you get the social media up and running, reaching out to those people on your social media that are following you, hey, do you know anybody that want to be a part of this? Start to accrue sponsors that way, local sponsors. It's a lot cheaper, too.
Yeah.
A lot less expensive. And allows you to build, no different than any other business, build the business. Look at it from a business standpoint to where... We have an end goal. End goal is to be on the Outdoor Channel. How do we get there? Well, we don't get there by going to the SHOT Show and trying to get 5 sponsors for $100,000 each. We get there by getting 10 sponsors around this area at $50 a week, getting the show on, getting the people, and then build from there. Absolutely.
And that thing about how you said, you know, laugh at other people.
No. Maybe I said that wrong, yeah. But...
I can't do that. I mean,
I understood what you meant. He took
kind of like the survival where I go, look, it's stupid to try to catch a deer with pitcher wire or 550 cord with a coyote where it's going to chew through there. But I do it in a way that it's kind of abrasive.
I mean, I can't sit there and be like, why would you get in camouflage
saying,
and kill a deer? I mean, that's how I was raised up to hunt. And
well,
I mean,
that's the difference. I got camo on now. But, I mean, I'd go like that.
You're better off going like this.
I wouldn't care.
Jet black.
I wouldn't care. One, I mean, it just doesn't register. You know, you promote the wind. a little bit of discipline about sitting still, understanding the habits, you know, of what the deer's going to do. Like around here, like I've told you before, all the big deer in the river. 3 days after season, every big deer that's within a half a mile of that river is in the river on them islands. I've never seen anybody go hunting.
Absolutely.
Well, we saw that up in with Jeff. Remember the big deer that was
absolutely
on the island?
Absolutely. They're out on the islands. They go where nobody's going to be after them.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like that's to me where you would get people to go.
The guys with the Under Armour cool shirts aren't hunting on the islands.
I mean, but you, I mean, just from goofing around, I mean, you could, you know, like even classify us as, you know, real everyday hunters, blue collar hunters, whatever. And then you've got the elite dudes like Alan, you know,
yeah,
set
know
them over
that
there by themselves, and y'all come
that
with me, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
I'm more of the have the fun. I'm not the elite. Hell, I shoot does and put it on TV. People are like, why'd you show that doe?
Yeah.
Because it's in my freezer and I shot it.
I like that better than, like, I mean, I'm not hating on anybody by no means, but I was watching Lee and Tiffany the other day, and they do a great job of that deer management, but I was watching it with Daddy the other day, and I was like, Daddy, I would smoke that one. Then another one came out. Daddy, I'd smoke that one. Another one came out. Daddy, I'd smoke it. And he's like, well, there wouldn't be any deer on that property when you was there. Then I was like, well, I mean, but they were just letting them pass. And I'm like, you know, well, do they like watching them?
Yeah, I'm not letting any of them pass either.
I mean, I see that because I'm going to tell you something, you know. Out here, if you did that, your buddy will go hunting, or he could be hunting that same day you are. What's he going to do if that buck gets in front? He's
going to
shoot that sucker.
Like, how many deer did you see on your lease this year?
It was a bad year on the old lease this year. I killed three, or only one on my lease, but...
But how many did you see?
Bucks or does or everything.
Either way.
We seen about seven or eight deer.
So if you let six go by, that's good and slim pickings.
Yeah, I mean... I don't get how they can. I mean, it's their property, so. But it's their property, and I mean, they can, you know, do it because I guess they don't have anybody else hunting on there. But the everyday hunter's got people hunting on that same lease, and I don't understand.
My biggest thing is, if you're going to go into something like that, Travis, you've got to have a way to separate yourself. Because when I do watch those shows, like if I'm checking to see if F&T's on, since I don't know who they are, it all looks like one big show that runs 24 hours a day to
yeah
me, you know, honestly. They're in the tree stand, they're doing the whispering thing, they got the cool little hats on, and, you know, and the way they film it, I mean, it's like one big production company. I would say you've got to find a way to separate yourself
oh, yeah
from that.
Which, I mean, my dad, he says it all the time. He used to watch that O'Neill Outside guy. Have you ever heard
yeah
of
him? Yeah, I know
him. Yep. Yeah. And he's like, man, that dude used to be so cool. Now it's, you know, 20 minutes of commercials, 3 minutes of hunting, then the rest he's a little cooking on his Big Green Egg. You know, I mean,
which I'm sure is a sponsor.
Big Green Egg, yeah, give him a lot of money to cook on that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And he's like,
don't worry, he'll be cooking on that Big Green Egg every show.
Oh yeah,
because I guarantee you that's in the contract.
Oh yeah, but Dad, he did. He's like, that dude, he used to be, you know, kill deer, and we got to watch him kill deer. Now we're watching him. I mean, he's like Betty Crocker's up here, you know. Paula Dean or whatever.
Well, you run it full circle, kid. Anytime you need any help, you give me a holler.
All righty.
But well, the biggest thing is you got to do something.
You just got to do it. You know what? It's no different. And I'm a big firm believer. Whenever I give a seminar or speak an engagement or whatever, if you want to do it, do it. I mean, if you want to do it, do it. You can do anything you want. This is America. You know, you got government intrusion, obviously, with the corporate taxes, which we were bitching about yesterday.
We've done lots of bitching last couple
but
of days.
You could still pretty much, if you want, go out there and make something of yourself with whatever you want to do. You find, here's the biggest thing, and I say this in my seminars a lot. Find something that you're passionate about and figure out a way to make money doing it. That's your whole goal.
Mm-hmm.
Find something that you're passionate about and then figure out a way to make money doing it. me from the age of 7. Caught my first muskrat at 7. First fox at 11. From that age, I've always been, well, baseball, obviously I was passionate, but I've always been passionate about the outdoors. Just so happens I heard a radio commercial in 2003, and if I wouldn't have heard that radio commercial, this is no shit, if I wouldn't have heard that radio commercial when I was driving down the road on I-4 in Orlando, that the Orlando Convention Center had the NRA convention there, I would not be sitting here with you in this interview right now. That commercial on the radio changed my direction after going there that day. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Knew I loved the outdoors, was always passionate about the outdoors. Went there, talked to everybody, talked to people at the Outdoor Channel, and told them, man, I'd love to do a trapping show. And they're like, oh, that'd be great. That's all I needed to hear. I'll figure this out one way or another. And here we are, almost going on 15 years later, still doing the outdoor thing.
Well, I mean, to me, the reason I keep going back to the social capital
is... Social capital's huge now.
Because you just don't know where it's going to live. I got a text today, which I need to ask y'all about, because I don't know who these people are. But they're supposedly, like, the new biggest thing in catfish, and they're interested maybe me making catfish bait for them.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I started trapping for the county all those years ago full-time, I never thought about making catfish bait.
Hell no.
And it may work out, it may not, but you just don't know.
Yep.
You know, or the, you know, the podcast or all the other stuff that's happened.
No, but one other thing. I'm going to go a little further. Maybe you're looking at it this way, maybe you're not. I'm going to go a little further. When you take your passion, which obviously is living off the land and growing your own food and making your own lure, and you created your own little, I'll call it a niche business, really is what it is. There's not a lot of people doing it. You know, a lot of people that we know do it, but as far as per capita, there ain't a lot of people sitting around, you know, brewing up skunk piss.
Right.
It just doesn't happen every day, you know? But what you have done, you created your own little business, which now has in turn allowed you the opportunity to possibly make catfish bait for a big catfish company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you have been doing that if you wouldn't do what you... So you... creating your own little niche and creating your own business and doing well with that business is now, what's it doing for you? Creating more opportunities.
See, that's the reason I get passionate with you when we have these conversations, is you've got to start that.
Yep.
To figure out where that takes you.
That's, you got to start it to figure out where it goes.
Because you just don't know. I mean,
if somebody would have told me when I was in Orlando, Florida, the night driving home, that 15 years later I'd be sitting in Dunlap, Tennessee, watching chickens fight each other out in the yard with a cat clawing at my leg, talking about this TV stuff, I'd have been like, really? But you know what? Everything that I've done to this point has brought me to this table.
I mean, it's amazing, like, just where things take you. When I first started trapping, decided to go full-time, you know, like going to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I've been smuggled into Canada, believe it or not, to figure out how to keep the coyotes off of their birds when the lake freezes up. Now, from Tennessee, I never would have once thought that a Great Lake could freeze up, much less coyotes could cross the ice and kill birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that generated, it just keeps building. And that's what I'm saying. When you're out doing your rabbit hunting, when you're doing your fishing, when you're doing your deer hunting, when you're out trapping, when looking for ginseng, whatever it is you're doing, you know, maybe not moonshining, but it needs to be where in a format where it's about what you're doing and not you, but then you just build this, you'll be amazed what happens.
And one other thing on top of that, the most mundane thing that you think is mundane or stupid or whatever may not be that stupid to somebody else, because they may just not know. Mm-hmm. They may not know that the leaves open up to accept the rain. They may not know that, you know, cow laying down means this. Or everything that you know, just because you know it and have heard it since you've been 2 years old, doesn't mean that somebody watching on YouTube from Idaho or California or whatever knows it. Mention those unique things. I'll give you one off the top of my head. in the wintertime, Pennsylvania, we'll be out rabbit hunting. You'll see where the rabbits chew on the bark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they use that as a food source. Those briar bushes and huckleberries and all them things, they'll chew the bark right off.
Mulberry trees.
Mulberry trees. Chew the bark right off.
Yeah.
Here's the cool thing that people don't realize. You'll see it's only about the height of a rabbit above the snow. Well, as it snows more in the winter, that chewing will go up about the height of a rabbit. You tell them that. They use this as a food source. And as the winter goes along, I get more comments on that. It was a little one-minute segment we did in the show, and they're like, that's so cool. You know, I never even thought of that. That'll go up the height of a rabbit throughout the winter. The more snow you get, the higher they can get on the brush. All those little things, you can, and they're very easy to do. Get the camera, set it up, talk for a minute, you're done. There's a whole YouTube clip. Bam. It's on that night.
You've seen me do all kind of
getting views. He's grabbing. He told me grab the phone the other day. Here, I want to do something for YouTube. All right, let's film it. You know, but you know what? He comes home, puts on the computer, it's back up. He's selling knives within 20 minutes, without even mentioning the knife, because somebody said, "Hey, where'd you get that knife?" Mm. Oh, that's this company's knife. Oh, no shit. I'm gonna get one of them. They're pretty cool. And it all works in hand. But he's absolutely correct, and it all comes down to one thing. Two things. One, the desire to do it. And first and foremost, the desire to do it. Secondly, you got to start it.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't start it, it's never gonna go anywhere. And hey, who knows? You may start and you think you're going to be on a straight path. 6 months later, something might happen. You're like, shit, I got a detour this way. Well, okay, I can get back on that path now. Well, something else happens. Now I got a detour. It's not a straight road. It's a long and windy, crooked, forky road that as you go on, you'll get to where you're meant to be. You were talking about how some people think that we came from apes. Creationism today, right?
Yeah, crazy.
You think it's crazy. That's fine. And a lot of people don't, though. But just because they have a different viewpoint doesn't mean that they're wrong in their own mind. So you do your own thing. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Don't let anybody else tell you how to think.
Mm-hmm.
Do your own thing. And do your own path, and you will get to where you're supposed to be. What your ultimate plan, ultimate goal, through God or, you know, faith or whatever. That's where you're going to be. We're all on that path. We're on that path till we take a dirt nap. Enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Strap on, hold on, and grab them by the balls.
Like, for you, Travis, I think something you could do that would be, you'd be amazed at what would happen, is if you would do a podcast about your hunting and fishing. They don't have to be 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, I'll put it on Trapping Radio. I mean, you're going to be sitting in front of 20 to 30,000 people a month to start off with. But the reason I say that is the way that you talk, and you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And you're passionate about what you do. There's going to be thousands of other 17 to 25 year olds that's going to relate to Travis that will never relate to me or Alan. I mean, we're not millennials. You know, we're not screwed up like that. So you've got that section all to yourself.
Oh, no, there's no laughing there. You are screwed up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're spoiled.
Your whole generation is screwed up.
We're spoiled.
But see, we can't relate to that, but you can.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing I want to go a little further on, the same long, same lines there. You have a quality about yourself which is unique. And it's something that is a big plus for you. You're real. I'm real. Clint's real. A lot of people don't like us because we're real. We're a little more boisterous than you are. You got the more gentle realness.
Yeah.
I won't talk for Clint, but he'll agree with me. I'll talk for myself. Oh, I'm an abrasive son of a bitch. But you know what? I'm real, and nobody has to wonder what I'm thinking. And to me, that's how I want people to treat me. Be real. Don't talk behind my back. You got a problem with me? Come say it to my face. Point is, with you, you have a unique, real, down-home, southern charm, which is not only, and I don't mean attractive in the word sexually, but it's attractive to people of all genders and races because you're just real. You're approachable. You're just kind of there. You're having fun. This is how I... There's something unique about that, and that is a quality you can't teach somebody. You either have it or you don't, and you have it. It's what some people call the it factor. You have to find out how that works for you and then use it to your advantage as you move through life. But you have that quality, which you can't teach to somebody.
And you can't fake it either.
And you can't fake it either.
So if you tried to be like Duck Dynasty,
you couldn't be that.
You
can't grow the beard either.
Well, you can't grow the beard. We've already covered that topic.
But, you know, that's everybody's most important
asset.
Yeah, it's their self. And most people try to be other people where they lose their best asset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't be anybody that you're not. Be yourself. And people will genuinely feed off of that because you are being yourself. Now, there are going to be people who do not like you. And it just don't let it bother you. It will bother you at first. It bothered me. It bothered me a lot. Because I was like, why don't they like me? I didn't do anything wrong. I just was being myself. There are people who will be jealous of you. There will be people who will be jealous of your success. There will be people, and you deal with it too.
Mm-hmm.
There will be people who will be against you. They don't want to see you succeed. You know what? Don't worry about them. Get to the point where you are happy within yourself and what you're doing. And this is for anybody listening to this. Who gives a shit what anybody else thinks? Do what makes you happy within the confines of being kind to other people. But do what makes you happy, and you are going to be so further along than most people. And you have that quality to be able to do that. And you just have to harness it, understand its power, and use it to your advantage. And not use it in a bad way, just use it. Use be myself and do your thing and have fun doing it. Be passionate, have fun. Just like Clint said, build your social media. He probably harped on it more than I would have, but he's right. For you, for your instance, build that. Build that little following. Build it close. Always start close. Build it with people you know. Let them help build it for you then. You can't do it on your own. It's the only one thing Obama said the last 8 years that made any sense. You can't do it on your own. When he did say, you didn't build that company on your own, he's, to a sense, true. There's fact to that. But no, the guy built the company because he...
Well, it wasn't because of government.
It wasn't because of government. There was a fine line there. But that's the only thing he ever said. You do need other people to help you. You cannot do it yourself.
I happen to know somebody that you know that's willing to help you.
I believe he's sitting 3 feet from you. He's a good mentor to have.
Yeah.
Because he's already understood what needs to be done to where he's gotten. And he understands the way I told him. Yeah, I told you yesterday, dude, you are so much more of it. I know enough just to get me in trouble when it comes to that computer stuff. I know enough just to get me in trouble.
But you're smart enough to hire it out to people.
I hired out. I don't want to deal with it. But you understand it a lot more than I do. You know, you got this podcast. You got the whole, you know, I'm getting into the YouTube stuff. I'm kind of coming off of the old mindset. But the power of social media can make you or it can break you, too. So be very careful with that as well.
Well, the power of YouTube, we'll close with this. Like, what is a good average show on Outdoor Network or Outdoor Channel, what do you think they reach?
As far as people?
Mm-hmm.
Viewership on the Outdoor Channel, I do know the F&T show that we do, the trapping show, gets more viewership than any other show on the Pursuit Channel.
What's the number?
Like? Our numbers are going to be in the couple hundred thousand range every time it airs.
See,
the Outdoor Channel is going to be more than that. The Outdoor Channel... like Shockey's show is probably, I don't know these numbers for a fact, but he's probably in the 350 to 400,000 range, mm-hmm. I would think. Maybe even touching a half a million in the fall when it's the hunting seasons, when mm-hmm. more people are in that mindset. But shit, you do that on a podcast. If you get a good following, you could do that every time you put something new up.
Well, like, especially something bigger like that. But the reason I'm telling you, it like, there's an allure of being on TV. Like, it's not so much once you do it, but you think it is till you're doing
you're in it.
Yeah, and because it's like everything else, it's not quite as sexy as
it's not as sexy as people think it is.
So But like with YouTube, so they're doing 300,000 per se at the F&T show. Yep. I get more viewers than that on YouTube. So the reason I'm saying that is for you, you could do, and once you have the viewers, because we talked about a business thing the other day about advertising with YouTube, which we're not going to get in on this, but once you get the views and you're getting weekly, you know what your monthly views are on YouTube and stuff, an advertiser doesn't care. If you've got a selected
set of eyeballs, that's all they want.
It's eyeballs, it's a selected target thing. So instead he's going about it through TV, you could go through about it, and you don't have the $300,000 bill he's paying, if you get what I'm saying. You know, because you're starting out. You know, then you could, once you get that, you could let that fund being on TV if that's what you still want to do.
Yeah, it's not as, like he said, it's not as, you know, don't get me wrong, I love what I do. I mean, it's what I do, and I enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I love going out and traveling and filming and seeing critters and filming my own hunts for the wild Pennsylvanians. I love what I do, but there's a lot more that can be done to take a lot less pressure off of oneself when it comes to those financial obligations. And if I was starting out today, I wouldn't go about it the way I did it before. Would I still be in TV? Possibly, maybe. I don't know where that road would lead, but it's not, you know, I know there's that lure, like you said, of being on TV. Oh, I'm on TV. Don't fall into that trap that a lot of them do, where they need to be the talking head in front of the green screen. It's not about that. If you stay true to yourself, true to what you're trying to do, which is basically educate people about the outdoors, your content and your approach will take care of itself and lend you the steps where your path will lead, because things will lead themselves down the way.
Well, one thing I've always wondered was, is, you know, like, I'm sure you've heard of Matthews Bows.
Mm-hmm.
They've I seen one of their commercials the other day, and it's a really, really cool commercial.
Uh-huh.
But I found out that they filmed it behind a green screen.
Well, they did probably on a green screen.
Well, ain't that fake?
Well,
I'm not trying to be mean, but if it's not a real place that you took that real bow, I mean, why don't you just take it to the mountain behind us, climb that mountain, sneak up on a deer, or shoot it from the tree
stand? I think you answered the question when you first started. I saw this Matthews commercial the other day, and it was a really cool commercial.
It was cool.
I think you answered the question why they used the green screen.
I mean, it's cool, but that cool was fake. And I mean, shoot, if somebody...
You just proved the point, and I know you need to wrap this up. You proved the point of the quality that you have, that you can't teach somebody. That right there. That realness is exactly the point I was trying to make earlier. You can't teach that to where he's a little jaded that they used a green screen to do their commercial. And he's somewhat pissed off by that. And you know what? That's kind of cool.
And there's hundreds of thousands of people that agree with you.
And there's hundreds of thousands of people who are going to agree with you and have the same smile on their face that I do right now. Because I find it kind of endearing.
Any other questions that you have for him while he's sitting here?
How long did it take you until you got financially good? Because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, starting out, it's pretty tough.
I'm still searching for that.
I got you.
Well, so one thing about the financial, we will close. We got to close after this. The way I look at, like, what you do, if there's a $300,000 minimum, till you make $300,001, you ain't made but a dollar yet.
You haven't made a dollar. It's coming out of your own pocket.
Well, see, the way I look at what he wants to do, if he can start off with something that's more free platforms, and he makes $2.
He's the $2 ahead of I am.
Yeah.
And under $300.
So you do something, you can generate $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. It doesn't sound as impressive like on Facebook, but in your pocket, it's a big deal.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's the way that I would go about.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And if you want to get into the TV, hit up your local businesses, get your 40, 50 bucks a week, and put it on the local channel. See the reception of it from people. You're a couple years away from that because you need to go out and film and get your. I mean, you got a lot of work to do with that. You got a prime person to help you right here. He knows how to edit. He'll show you how to edit. He'll show you how to edit for as cheap as you can edit. You do your own editing. You put your own product out there, and you cut your costs until you get going.
How hard can it be? Me and Jeff both edit our own stuff. How hard can that be?
I was about to say.
Don't let them fool you. They may look like rednecks, but they're pretty strong up top.
The computer stuff. That's
is Jeff Dunlap going to hear this? You think?
He will now when I tell him we talked about
him.
We talked. He couldn't help it then.
We talked about Jeff.
He listens anyway.
You gotta love him. You gotta love him.
Oh yeah, hi Jeff.
The Mad Trapper. I called him the Mad Trapper. We're up there in the north. He's got that big green coat on with that fur hat with the earmuffs down over. He looked like the Mad Trapper dragging his sled across the ice.
I'm gonna get him back for the tree stand joke. It's coming.
That's another show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. Just things to think about, man. That's the only reason I wanted to do this. We good?
Yeah.
Damn, what other people think? What do you think about that?